Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, January 17th reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress, and it's titled, Costner Stars in Western Museum Celebration, by Progress News Staff. One of Hollywood's most Western actors is slated for a starring role in Scottsdale. Kevin Costner is the guest of honor as Western Spirit. Scottsdale's Museum of the West celebrates its 10th anniversary. In true Hollywood style, if you're not on the list, there's no admittance to an invitation-only blowout Wednesday, January 15th. The Old Town Centerpiece has been regularly named the top Western museum in the country. Western Spirit, Scottsdale's Museum of the West, is a Smithsonian affiliate that was built in 2015, dedicated to honoring the art, history, and culture of the American West. Featuring art and artifacts from as far back as the 1500s, the museum is undergoing a major expansion, scheduled for completion in late 2025. Made possible thanks to a $12 million charitable gift from Luis Buzz Sands V, the expansion will add 12,000 square feet of new space with multiple galleries. The splash party will be tailed by Scottsdale Western Week, January 25th through February 2nd, featuring Western film screenings, a Pony Express, and a popular parade. At a Western Spirit Award Gala on February 28th, Costner will be the feature of a question-and-answer session about his career, framed by Silverado and the recent Yellowstone. He will also be presented with the first annual Western Spirit Award. This is a momentous year on many fronts, said Tom Bankoffer, CEO of Western Spirit, Scottsdale's Museum of the West. Currently on display at the museum are the following exhibitions. American Backcourts, a contemporary photography exhibit and first solo show of artist Rob Hammer, which depicts basketball courts off the beaten path. Canvas of Clay, Hopi pottery masterworks from the Allen and Judith Cook collection. On exhibit for the first time are more than 65 of the finest examples of Hopi pottery, gifted to the museum by the Allen and Judith Cook collection. This exhibition celebrates six centuries of the Hopi people and culture whose tribal land lies in northern Arizona. John Coleman bronzes from the collection of Frankie and Howard Alper, running through 2025. This selection of bronzes features the artist's 10-piece Explorer Artist series. Courage and Crossroads, a visual journey through the American West. This exhibition features more than 100 paintings and sculptures by artists ranging from Thomas Moran and Alfred Jacob Miller to Frederick Remington and Charles M. Russell, and vintage photographs by Edward Curtis. People, Places, Predicaments, John Clymer's West, featuring over 50 paintings by the extraordinary artist John Ford Clymer, donated from the Eddie Basha collection of over 3,000 significant works, this exhibition honors the diverse peoples who shaped its history. The Abe Hayes Family Spirit of the West collection, revolvers, rifles, saddles, knives, holsters, spurs, chaps, badges, and more. See a collection of approximately 1,400 extremely rare Old West items from Scottsdale gallerist Abe Hayes. Verrill Goodnight, Sled Dogs in America. Artist Verrill Goodnight shares the stories and many roles that sled dogs and their drivers had in American history. Women of the Southwest, a legacy of painting. One of the largest women-made art exhibitions in the nation, this curated selection of nearly 200 works by 25 women, which was gifted to the museum by Fran and Edward Elliott, celebrates the pioneering women artists who made a place for arts in Arizona when there was none. For information, you can visit westernspirit.org. And that article was titled, Costner Stars in Western Museum Celebration. Ambulance Service Launches, by Tom Scanlon. Five burly firefighters are crowded in a small residence room at a care facility. Jean, One calls to a barely conscious woman who woke up to seizures on New Year's Eve. We're from the Scottsdale Fire Department, and we're going to take your vitals now. After assessing, this woman needed advanced treatment. The firefighters in the old days would request a Maricopa ambulance crew to take over. Not anymore. Using the new protocol, the firefighters radio for the woman to be taken to a hospital in a brand new Scottsdale Fire Department ambulance, or rescue in firefighter shorthand. Moments after the ambulance request, a firefighter calls out, "Rescue's here." It was a short ride for the ambulance and crew, as they were literally right across the street, dropping off another patient from a care facility at Honor Health Scottsdale Osborne Medical Center. Since December 15th, the first of Scottsdale's new $450,000 ambulances has been darting around the city, delivering patients from care facilities and private residents to hospitals around Old Town. That debut ambulance is housed at Fire Station 602 on Indian School and Miller Roads. How long did it take for the ambulance to get its first call? 6 minutes, said Brian Joseph, the fire department's transportation manager. It might have been a record response time, as the ambulance team scooped up a scooter rider hit by a car right in front of the station. Things have hardly slowed down since the December 15th launch. The first ambulance and two that went into service shortly after answered 250 calls in less than a month. If you have to be in an ambulance, Scottsdale's vehicles are the top choice. In addition to an unmistakable new car smell, the new emergency rigs have shiny equipment, digital screens showing patient vital signs, seatbelt airbags, a Lucas device for automated CPR, and many other cutting-edge add-ons. Veteran paramedic Lane Henry and younger EMT Tyson Cass love the new gear stored efficiently. But it's the increased size of the bigger AMBO that makes their tough jobs a touch easier. There's a lot of space back here. It's awesome, Henry said, providing a quick tour after dropping off the patient. It's almost like a hotel room. He said the new ambulance workspaces are nearly twice the size of the Maricopa ambulance fleet. Every inch is crucial, as two and even three rescuers work on the most critically injured patients on the way to the hospital. This lets you give better patient care, Harry said. Busy launch. The morning of the last day of 2024, Scottsdale calls from an automated dispatch system were nonstop. A 96-year-old woman was experiencing 10 of 10 pain north of Shea Boulevard. Moments later, a call came in for chest pain patient on 78th Street and Cattle Track Road, quickly followed by an injured person at the south end of the city, difficulty breathing in North Scottsdale, and a fall in Midtown. Shortly after the first ambulance in Old Town, two more went into service, housed at Station 608 on 96th Street and Cactus Road, and at Station 615 on Pima and Lone Mountain Roads in far North Scottsdale. The ambulance program is off to a speeding start, with the new rigs answering one call after another. From Joseph's managerial perspective, the planned efficiency is already clicking. With most 911 calls the Scottsdale Fire Department answers being medically related, fire trucks are often dispatched to calls related to falls, chest pain, accidents, and other medical situations. Of 256 ambulance calls, Joseph noted, 72 required an additional advanced life-saving certified member off of a fire truck to ride with the patient. To compare, with a contract third-party transport system, he noted, all 250 would have required an ALS member off the fire truck to ride in with the patient because they are staffed with BLS care providers. What does that mean? We were able to maintain full staffing on the fire apparatus as they are placed back in service for the next incident, Joseph said. This is a huge benefit for a variety of reasons to the overall efficiency and response to calls for 911 service. Long awaited. The Scottsdale ambulance program has been a long time coming. As Councilwoman Kathy Littlefield pointed out last March, Scottsdale has been trying to have its own ambulance service since it launched its own fire department 20 years ago. In 2023, the city shelled out $1.6 million for four ambulances, more than a year before gaining a crucial certificate of necessity from the Arizona Department of Health Services. 10 months ago, Scottsdale Fire Chief Tom Shannon said the department was on pace for a January 2025 first transported patient by the then theoretical Scottsdale Fire Ambulance Service. Shannon repeatedly said the program is crucial for door-to-door service. In 2023, he noted, a third-party ambulance service took 18,000 Scottsdale residents and visitors to hospitals. After City Council formally approved the program in mid-2024, Shannon and company beat the ambulance goal by a few weeks. Maricopa Ambulance, which operates in Glendale, Goodyear, Surprise, and Chandler, has been working with the Scottsdale Fire Department since 2018. The private ambulance company will continue to work in Scottsdale, filling in gaps until the city ambulance program is up to full speed. Shannon's promise: the citizens of Scottsdale will benefit from an increased level of care through SFD's ability to provide EMS service from its first response to hospital delivery. The first year of running its own ambulance service would cost the city about $900,000, Shannon said. After initial startup costs, this program could be revenue neutral or even make a small profit by year four. Firepower boost. While the new ambulances are technological marvels, they don't run themselves. The real firepower of the new program are the paramedics, who have advanced training in life-saving and emergency medical technicians. According to Joseph, Scottsdale's fire team of 329 firefighters features 158 firefighter paramedics and 137 firefighter EMTs. More manpower is on the way. This year, according to Shannon, Scottsdale Fire will have 20 firefighter paramedics dedicated to the ambulance operations. Scottsdale firefighter EMT paramedic crews would grow from 20 in the first year to 60 by the third year. Shannon said the department will bill insurance companies a projected $5 million in the first year, again tripling to $15 million in year three. Training for the new crews in the new ambulances will take place at the city's new Police Fire Training Center, scheduled to open this week. Last year, Shannon told the Progress, response times for ambulances are based on a 10-minute response time from their dispatched location. City ambulance response times will meet or exceed, or be faster than, our current provider due to the deployment location and methodology being seamlessly tied to our current fire stations and fire apparatus through our computer-aided dispatch system. The Scottsdale Fire Department had 35,320 calls for service in 2023. Of those, 23,789 were medical calls, with 18,000 resulting in patients taken to hospital. And that article was titled, Ambulance Service Launches. New Council Whisperer Saddles Up at City Hall by Tom Scanlon. In his 1995 novel, The Horse Whisperer, Nicholas Evans describes heroine Grace meeting the fierce pilgrim. There was no doubting he was also a handful and quite different from any other horse she'd ridden. But when Grace was on him and could feel all that life pounding away inside him, she knew that in his heart he was good and not mean, and that they would be okay together. They would be a team. Lisa Borowski might not know much about being mayor, but she knows horses. As she saddles up at City Hall for a four-year run as Scottsdale's mayor this week, Borowski plans to be a team player, leading with quiet confidence. One might call her the City Council Whisperer. She agrees guiding City Council will be like training a good horse in many ways. In order to be effectively riding and competing, Borowski pondered, it's critical to understand the horse's personality and learn to navigate its temperament, likes, dislikes, fears, etc. Being a leader boils down to one word for Borowski. Most important is establishing trust between the horse and rider, something which is completely relatable in the political, municipal setting. In a way, this isn't her first rodeo. Borowski knows the layout of City Hall, as she was a councilwoman from 2008 to 2012. Scottsdale certainly has changed in the 13 years since, and Borowski will tell you tapping into those displeased over the city's rapid growth put her in office. But she added a few days before taking office, "I don't believe in going backwards." Those who complain, "I don't like all these changes and all this traffic," hardly have to convince Borowski. Borowski, 59, has lived her entire life here. Ask her what high school she went to, and she'll answer with a groan, "What high school didn't I go to? We moved around a lot when I was a little kid. My mom was the original flipper." Her parents would buy a Scottsdale home in disrepair. They would fix it up over a year or two, sell it, and move on to the next hidden treasure. In addition to schooling in Flagstaff, Borowski attended Chaparral High School before graduating from nearby Horizon High in 1980. What was her life coming of age in Scottsdale like? Three words, she said with a laugh. Horses, horses, horses. One of the most mammoth projects on her plate is the Parquet, a planned live-work-play campus with 1,300 apartments and a hotel on Scottsdale Road just south of Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. The property was long home to the beloved Cracker Jacks Amusement Park. The Herberger family opened Cracker Jacks in 1993. For nearly 30 years, Cracker Jacks boasted of being Arizona's largest family fun and sports park, featuring 28 acres of fun, including go-karts, bumper boats, miniature golf, driving range, arcade, batting cages, volleyball courts, restaurant, and more. Borowski has been here so long, she remembers riding horses on the Herberger property. "My sister and I had horses at a barn over there before it became Cracker Jacks," Borowski said. "All the kids learned how to ride there." After convincing her real estate flipper parents to get her a horse, the energetic girl quickly learned it wasn't all about fun. "It was a big obligation. Horses are a lot of work," Borowski said. "That was my job. It was a big, serious thing for me." Over the years, she never tired of being a horse whisperer. "That's a big focus," she said for me. "I still have a show horse." She continued to ride and train horses through her high school years, into college, and even now. Corporate lawyer. Though she went off to New York to earn a degree from St. John's University School of Law, Borowski quickly returned to Scottsdale to launch a corporate law career. According to her campaign website, for over two decades, Lisa represented homeowners plagued by construction defects resulting from shoddy construction, recovering millions of dollars for her clients. She said that she's stepping away from being buried in legal cases to being a full-time mayor. "After practicing commercial litigation for three decades, I put my practice on hold after the primary. Professionally, I'd like to have more flexibility than litigation provides, and a focus that is more compatible with serving as mayor. It was a legal case that lured her into politics in the first place." She said her brother, Todd Borowski, owns two gentlemen's clubs in Scottsdale. In 2006, Scottsdale City Council passed an ordinance, the so-called lap dance ban, that required strip dancers to literally keep their distance from patrons. "City government was trying to get into morals," Lisa Borowski said. "Being born and raised in Scottsdale and having a law office here, it really got my attention." She said the situation reminded her of the movie Footloose, where a town bans dancing. Borowski said her brother spent $1 million fighting the ordinance with a signature drive. It's not quite history repeating itself, but Borowski begins her term with a similar fight underway. A group led by former Councilman Bob Littlefield submitting 26,000 signatures in an attempt to put Axon's City Council-approved rezoning plan on the ballot. Borowski said no one at Axon has reached out to her. "I would look forward to speaking to them if and when they would like to do that," the new mayor said. "As far as holding a special election rather than waiting until November 2026, I would generally say I'm not all in favor of using taxpayer money to schedule a special election in a situation such as this," Borowski said. Her thoughts on the overall Axon plan? I think I'm in the majority when I say it's far too many apartments for that location, Borowski said. She said the concept is somewhat baffling. It doesn't seem integral to their headquarters. But again, I've never had a conversation with them. I look forward to having a dialogue with them. Though she doesn't know Axon founder Rick Smith personally, she may have passed him in the halls in her time at Chaparral High. In any case, she has nothing but praise for what Smith and Axon have accomplished in providing advanced technology for law enforcement. It's unfortunate that this has come to a public dispute, Borowski said. I would love Axon to stay in Scottsdale. Mom first. Borowski's campaign website notes that, despite her legal and political careers, Lisa's most significant accomplishment is raising her beautiful daughter Savannah in Scottsdale. The daughter doesn't share one of her mother's passions. I got her a horse when she was around 8, but it wasn't her thing, Lisa Borowski said with a laugh. Her daughter is into music, art, and writing, which she is studying at the University of Arizona. The new mayor said she doesn't plan to be a scolding parent to citizens and city council members, but more of a trusting partner in this 4-year trip. As part of what she envisions as a team effort to run the city, the lone regular agenda item there are several consent agenda items for the January 14th council meeting. Adopt Ordinance Number 4660, establishing a budget review commission. According to the agenda background, the mayor and members of the city council have requested that an item be added to the January 14, 2025 agenda to establish a budget review commission. A budget review commission was previously in place from 2009 to 2011. Borowski mentioned reviving the committee several times during her campaign. That is what I have favored, she said. Getting citizens involved to get the city's finances in the best position possible, Borowski said. As she runs her first meeting of mayor, Borowski will be urging her council colleagues to form the committee. Rather than shouting demands, she will likely be whispering encouragement. And that article was titled, New Council Whisperer Saddles Up at City Hall. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the town of Paradise Valley Independent. Paradise Valley's new mayor council members sworn in. By Janet Perez. Mark Stanton has been sworn in as mayor of Paradise Valley, with the ceremony drawing some bold-faced names from local, state, and county politics. Now we all have to roll up our sleeves and go back to work for the job which we were hired to do, and that is to make Paradise Valley successful. Protect the quality of life that we have, so enjoyed and that we cherish. The low density, the open space, and the incredible customer service that we give to our residents, Stanton said after he was sworn in on January 9th. Stanton, who defeated fellow council member Anna Tomlinson in the November election, succeeds Jerry Bien Wilner. Tomlinson remains on the council. We are all collectively dedicated to helping not only, of course, our residents and our stakeholders, like the resorts and other stakeholders, but also our municipal partners, Scottsdale and Phoenix, to work closely with them and the county, Stanton said. The county is such an important partner to all the towns and cities. Stanton also thanks the town's fire and police departments. In an interview with the Paradise Valley Independent after he was elected in November, Stanton said one of the most important issues for the town is maintaining local control. That became evident when the state legislature passed and Governor Katie Hobbs signed a bill in May that will allow for the building and renting of accessory dwelling units, or casitas, in single-family homes close to business centers in towns and cities with populations of more than 75,000. The challenge there is that the state has shown that they are able to and do reach over to try and regulate towns and cities. And we've seen this on the short-term rental issue. We've seen it on land use issues with these ancillary dwelling units, Stanton said in the interview. There is a carve-out, and we believe that based on the bill's sponsors, that Paradise Valley won't be subject to that particular state law, but we're very cautious and alert. Among Stanton's guests to his swearing-in were former Arizona Governor Fife Symington, former State Treasurer Eileen Klein, former Chair of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Andy Kasunik, new Scottsdale Mayor Lisa Borowski, and Chandler Mayor Kevin Hartke. Also in attendance was Stanton's friend and Cunasec sister, Karen Taylor Robeson, who served on the Arizona Board of Regents and ran for the Republican nomination for governor in 2022. She lost to Carrie Lake. During the ceremony, Karen Liebman was sworn into her first term on the council. She'd previously served as the chair of the town's planning commission. Paradise Valley is a special and unique place, and we want to keep it that way. So I pledge to everyone that I will do my best to serve you and serve our town with integrity, honor, and transparency, Liebman said after being sworn in. Councilmember Julia Pace, who was re-elected to her third term, was also sworn in. It'll be my third term in giving back and doing service to protect the mountains that we all love. It's what I'm known for, and the open spaces and the preservation. But I wanted to talk about volunteerism. It's about sharing, sharing of time, sharing of family that loses your time because you're here now, Pace said after being sworn in. We do it for the love of the community. We do it for what we believe in. Councilmember Scott Moore, who was re-elected to a third term, could not make the ceremony and was sworn in later. And that's all the time we have for that article, which is titled, Paradise Valley's New Mayor, Council Members Sworn In. You've been listening to the East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. Did you know your favorite programs are available anytime on demand at sunsounds.org? I'm your volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. I hope you have a great rest of your day.